You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
Today we have two amazing guests. First, it's Dan Fowler from Imagination IQ. Dan is the creator of Imagination IQ, and it's an event that Janie and I attended, and he's going to tell us all about his events, his board games, and what he has going on. And second, we have a great filmmaker. She's calling from Barcelona, Spain. It's Georgia Weiss, and she's done a documentary on mantras, and you'll get to understand what mantras are. It's a really fascinating type of music that goes back thousands of years, and yet now the Western society is finally beginning to understand it and embrace it. So stay tuned for those two great interviews. So let's talk a little bit about what happened this week. Janie had an amazing week, and last Sunday she got to fulfill a childhood dream.
Yeah, it was quite exciting, actually.
You got to record in a high-end studio, Lear Studio in West Hollywood, which is known for Weezer, Usher, Katy Perry, the band Train. I mean, these major artists record there.
Yeah, and I was hired by a gentleman named Sam Lapidus. His band is recording an album, and they hired me to sing the backup vocals, which I thought was really interesting. They thought I had a Southern accent.
Well, that's Southern
drum. I never heard
drum.
That. I never heard that before, but it was a pleasure to learn his songs and sing with him. Check him out, Sam Lapidus. But being in that studio was quite an amazing thing for me. I had always envisioned myself doing that one day. But, you know, when you dream of things, you don't always get to live those dreams. And it was quite a pleasure to realize that I was standing in the moments of a lifelong dream.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
And you knocked it out of the park. I got to say, I think it was excellent that you were able to just step up and... Because being just in a real studio, in a sound booth, and, you know, that...
It's a little nerve-wracking, I got to say. I was shaking in my shoes a little bit. Is this something I can actually do? Yeah, sure, I've been dreaming it, but can I actually pull it off in a way that would, you know, respect their music and also give them what they were looking for?
Yeah.
So it was a challenge. I worked really hard to step up to the challenge, and I'm really proud of myself for taking that step, even though I was nervous as can be, and really making it work for myself. Yay.
Check out the photos on humanitarianradio.com.
Oh, awesome. You put them up. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I had another really cool thing go on. I met with this girl, Michelle Patterson. We talked about her on our show last week. She is the young lady that took over the California Women's Conference for Maria Shriver 4 years ago. And she's a young girl and is just moving mountains, as in she's moving with the head people in a variety of massive corporations, Google, Facebook, Ford. That list is huge. And what she's doing is she's trying to empower women in business. So she's going to these big companies and she's talking to them about, how are you treating your women? We would like to see women in CEO positions, vice presidencies, presidencies in these massive corporations. And these companies are really listening to her and making shifts in corporations to allow women to have better positioning, better pay, and be more of a position in these big companies. And she's invited me on board, as well as the radio station. We're going to partner with the California Women's Conference and do some international shows. We're actually going to do a giant show in Australia in the end of August. So very, very exciting. Absolutely a pleasure to join in with a bunch of women that are really movers and shakers, not only in the United States, but internationally. And then yesterday was Nancy Cartwright's Happy House event.
Yep, that was the annual poker event, and excellent time there again. You know, the money that she raises for her cause is just great.
And Nancy Cartwright is the voice of Bart Simpson, if you're not familiar with her name. She's been a longtime friend of ours. Tony's band St. Tone has been performing there for 6 or 7 years now, and just a really, really cool lady that does some great things for adults and children in need.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Today's quote, a negative mind will never give you a positive life.
A negative mind will never give you a positive life.
Yeah, think about that for a moment.
Well, you know, I believe you get what you focus on, and if you're always looking at the glass half full as opposed to...
glass half empty.
Half empty.
Yeah, completely, you know? Empty. Listen, I spoke to a young lady last night that was working at a restaurant, and she said, she goes, everything about my world sucks right now. And I go, well, keep putting that out there, and everything about your world is going to suck tomorrow and the next day, too.
Yeah.
And isn't that about the truth?
Yeah.
So a negative mind will never give you a positive life. If you're always going, everything about my world sucks today,
yeah,
well, then how's tomorrow going to be positive?
Well, let's face it, too. When you have that type of situation, it's hard to get out of it. So, you know, you have to find a way to just shake yourself out of it. One thing is listen to humanitarian radio. Listen
That's
to some
true.
Good news around the world.
And good positive music and things that people are doing that are really uplifting.
Yeah, surround yourself with some people that are having a good time or they're doing good things or positive things.
And listen, speak to people when you see that their expression is down and you recognize that something is up. Because she came to me at the end of the night and she said, I really appreciate that 2-minute talk we had because I felt much better after that.
Yeah.
Just me saying to her, you know, what I did was just teasingly singing her, the sun will come out tomorrow. And I said it in a laugh. And she started laughing. I said, come here, let me hug you. And I hugged her. And I didn't let go when she wanted to let go. I said, I'm putting positive, happy energy into your body. And we're starting fresh from this moment forward.
Excellent.
It took me 2 minutes to make this girl feel better. She worked the rest of her 4-hour shift in a completely different mindset. That's all it took. It doesn't take much to change people's lives. You just have to take the initiative to do it. And let me just say, this girl is not a close friend or anything like that. It's just a girl that we see at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So do it to a stranger. It works. Smile to a stranger on the sidewalk. It's shocking when a stranger sees you smile. They look at you with this expression like, you're smiling at me?
They usually say, do I know you?
Yeah, and I do that to people all the time, and I make them smile, and it's a beautiful thing. It just gets the endorphins rolling in their body and changes whatever's going on for them.
Mm-hmm.
Recommended highly.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Glass stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put humanitarian radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word humanitarian radio, and they'll give you an extra discount.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
So our good news today is another interesting story about how CEOs are changing things for their employees. And I love these stories because I'm hoping that they prompt other people, other CEOs, to do the same types of things.
Absolutely.
This young entrepreneurial CEO owns a box company, as in they make boxes. He is a Taiwanese immigrant. He is in Atlanta, and he went out to his parking lot one day to get something out of his car and noticed there were barely any cars in the parking lot. So he thought, wow, everybody must be at lunch. It's a little bit late. He actually realized that most of his employees could not afford a car. So he went and re-contemplated what he was doing with his business and how he could empower his people to be able to do things like afford cars. And what he ended up doing was paying for a huge amount of his employees' children's to go to college. So he funded a bunch of employees' college funds for their children in order to raise their individual families so their families could be brought to a different level. And at some point, hopefully, he'll be able to help them out with cars and things of that nature.
Wow, that's an awesome story.
But all it took was him to walk in the parking lot and go, wow, there's not a lot of cars out here. Kind of late. Wonder why everybody took a late lunch. Walked in and talked to people, and they're all at work. Nobody was at lunch. And he's like, well, what's up? We got no cars in the parking lot. That's because none of us can afford a car.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, good for him for noticing it and actually stepping up.
Holy cow. And so he ended up talking to his employees and figuring out, what are your needs, people? How can I help you? And this is what he did. So bravo. Bravo.
Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
And so we are back, and we are so happy to have on our show with us today, Mr. Dan Fowler. And as we were talking about earlier, he is the creator, designer of Imagination IQ, amongst a bunch of other things. He's written 5 books. He's in the film industry. We're going to let him talk about all the things he's got going on. Hi, Dan. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Such a pleasure. And we've been talking about Imagination IQ ever since we experienced that week and how it affected us and the various things that we've learned from your event. So our listeners are very familiar with the Imagination IQ, but I would really like you to tell them how you came to the point of developing this program. And just in a nutshell, for anyone who's new to the show today, what Imagination IQ is.
Sure. Yeah. Imagination IQ is we call it an epic event experience. So it is not a traditional event. It's probably not like any event you've probably ever attended. Very different. There's lots of deep level education and learning and transformation, but at the same time, a lot of fun going on as well. So we create a fun environment in which you can learn and engage good content, but also great people. And we have live music. You guys were part of it last time on our last event. That was fantastic for you guys to share your giftings and skills there. We also have a fun environment that doesn't require you to classify yourself as lesser than someone else. What I mean by that is we eliminate stages and we eliminate the need for you to have to look up at people. And when they're on the stage, this lecture hall, the traditional events, typically, they make you feel inferior. There is this elitism that goes on. And so we've eliminated that energetically. Now, nobody may intend to do that. And I'm not saying anybody's trying to do that maliciously. But it just happens. The way the rooms are set up energetically, it happens that way. And it exhausts us. We're sitting in, hotel chairs. And so we eliminated hotel chairs as well. Mm-hmm. This time around, we used big old bean bags.
Which we loved, and we've talked about that quite a bit. That was great. It just really put you at ease.
Mm-hmm. Right. It sets the tone as well, and they're colorful and all of that. Sometimes we use couches. Sometimes we use a combination of couches and beanbags as well, depending on our venue and a couple of the circumstances of what we're trying to do at a particular event. There's a main thrust that we're teaching people on how to manifest on demand is what we talk about, and show them how to bring that into their business, their relationships, and their life. So Imagination IQ came from a place of I can say it came from a place of disgruntledness, especially with the industry and about with traditional events, because I go to lots of events every year, probably on average, you know, 20 to 30 a year.
Wow.
These are events whether I'm either speaking at these events or in some cases I'm just attending and I'm networking. And whether I'm speaking or not, I am engaging people in networking because that's how you bring in new business, of course.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
noticed that.
What I thought was,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, what I thought was really great is that you had said earlier that when you have attended a lot of these events, you're asking different people a survey to say, hey, you know, what don't you like about the seminars? And one of the main things was the seating. And so the fact that you just took that into consideration and went to beanbags or went to these sofas, that made a dramatic difference just because you're there trying to gather information. And if you're not sitting comfortable, I know even for myself, if I have to go sit through an hour and a half movie, I get very fidgety. I just can't sit. And those are comfortable chairs, but I can't sit that long. And so being able to have a beanbag at your event and do it for 4 days was really incredible for me.
It helped the attention span, definitely.
Yeah, because if you're comfortable, you're like, okay, you're not worried about, like, I can't sit like this. I can't sit like this. So
relax.
Relax.
It's a good place to be relaxed.
And I really liked also.
When you're relaxed, you can learn more.
I really liked also that the other speakers were sitting in the beanbags around the room with us because we didn't even know who the other speakers were until they got up. So they were just your neighbor in attendance until they got up to do their thing, which I thought was really great because that absolutely made you really not only want to listen to them because they've been doing all these activities with you for, you know, so many hours prior to them getting up. But it made you really feel like you were attached to them as opposed to a speaker being up on a stage that you're disconnected with. You're listening to what they say, but you're not really feeling them as an equal and giving them probably as much respect as you would. You know, in this realm, it was a whole different feeling. Very successful.
Great. I'm glad that worked for you because that's exactly what we intend. We want it to be community-based instead of this hierarchy-based, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, for me, being able to interact with the different speakers and then actually the speakers come back and they become part of the audience after they've gone up and spoken, now you can actually interact with them even more. So it's not that they spoke and then they're out the door. You're like, oh, I had a question for them that I didn't necessarily want to share with the group. Because sometimes even as a speaker, they don't get a chance to even interact with an audience because they're there making a presentation. So they don't get a chance to interact with anyone. So I thought that was really great also that, people came back into the audience and then you can engage with them during breaks or whatever to ask them questions.
Sure.
So, like you said, it's nothing like that I've seen, in the different events that I've gone to. It's definitely unique.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that there's a lot of turn and burn in the industry. Which that's what I call it. You know, people fly in, they do their speaking spot, and then they're out. And, you know, they're like this sort of presentation selling machine. Is there anything wrong with that? I would say not on paper.
Yeah.
But in application, I mean, I think I think there's some ramifications to that cause inaccurate expectations for individuals who are wanting to become speakers and become, you know, get noticed in the industry that I have to emulate that, and it kind of perpetuates this lack of community instead of a community that we should be building a better world through co-creation.
Exactly. You know, tell us a little bit more now. You have Imagination IQ. One of the things that you presented at the end was a game, a board game, and tell our listeners a little bit about that because I thought that was really interesting.
Well, the board game, just trying to give you some backstory on this, is that for years, I would say from the last, I guess it started probably in 2007, I was actually really interested in the use of board games for education and for training, and specifically for entrepreneurs and business owners and people who are looking to create an abundance track for themselves. And I started monetizing other people's board games. These are entrepreneurs who created their own board games. Some of them you may have heard of, like the Cash Flow game from Robert Kiyosaki. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Abundance game from Brandon Broadwater. Well, we took these games and we saw beyond the game. We saw even further than their creators with these games in many ways. And we started creating models that we were able to create expansion pack cards for these games that went along with the game, that were the same graphic design, etc., but allowing people to interact with the games in different ways than they were able to before, making it more, quote-unquote, real for them. While I was doing that for years, there was a lot of success, and I realized that I could only go so far with that concept because of it was their game. It wasn't my game. So I kind of pulled the plug on that probably back in 2010. And I realized, this is still a great concept, so I'm going to shelf it. I'm going to archive that sucker. So let them know what I'm going to do with that. Maybe down the road, I'll make a game. And at the time, I knew I had to make my own game because this was going to continue. Had no idea what that was. Imagination IQ, everything we're doing now, came into play. And after our first event, I had many people come up to me saying, well, we wish we could take your game or your event home with us. And I thought, well, then I guess this is where the game comes into play, because we could create a board game based off our curriculum and about the types of experiences that we have within the event and convert it into a game format. And that's what we did. So as a team, we sat down and worked out all those details and developed the board game that is now the Imagination IQ board game. And it's based off the same principles we teach at the event. So they go hand in hand. So people can come in through the board game and go, oh, I want to know more, and come to an event. Or it could be vice versa. I could come to an event, learn about the board game, purchase the board game. We're doing big board game events as well, just the board game, with large organizations like the Kabbalah Center of LA and many other organizations around the Southern California right now. And we're looking to branch out too. So that's some cool, exciting things there.
And that's a really cool thing to be doing, is to do like what you're doing with the Kabbalah Center, because from what I understand, there's a certain time frame where they are in worship, if you will, and they don't watch TV and do things like that, but they could actually participate in those time frames in something of this nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Well, the Jewish community, who are, I would say, practicing at any different level, there's different sections of the Jewish community with this, mm-hmm. but the Kabbalah and with a lot of Jews, there are Shabbat is what it is, and so is what's called. And so they have this thing where they don't use electronic devices during this time. There's no electricity, so after like sundown on Friday, they don't use electricity for the weekend. Well, what do they do during that time with the family and together? Well, that community actually plays a lot of board games. And that's why it was a perfect fit with the Kabbalah Center, because they were actually looking, they were thinking about, well, maybe we should create our own game. And lo and behold, we come along, and it was like perfect timing for them.
And it's a great a great family game. It's a great thing to do with family and friends.
Mm-hmm,
it's
not
just geared for adults. It's for everybody.
Right. So there's lots of fun involved, but there's also a lot of deep learning, of reflection on oneself, but also thinking about how we can make this a better place, how we can be better humanitarians for the things we're here to be stewards of.
Yeah, we're always excited about encouraging parents to get their children on this trail at a young age, because the sooner they realize what their role is on this planet and for humanity, the sooner they're going to become amazing citizens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And realize the capability of the imagination in general, just to expand their view.
Right.
The world views are created when imagination stops. And so it's like, I don't have a world view. I have a view of the world right now. Mm-hmm. And that view always changes, or it should. It should always evolve. And that's one of the things that we hopefully teach to our people that come to our events and our programs, and of course kids too.
So, Dan, I also understand that you are an avid book writer, not just a book reader, and you've written five mm-hmm. books and you're working on a new book. Tell us what your books are about and what types of things you like to write about.
Well, the last part of that is a loaded question, because I like to write about a whole lot of things. I broke into writing. Actually, writing is what started everything from my production company on. I was a writer before that. So I wrote short stories. I wrote all points. So I started in fiction. And then I broke into the production industry. And I realized, you know, I'd like to see my fictional stories produced into film, be able to see them live action. So I moved into that realm for quite some time. And then I moved back, kind of back to center and working more with entrepreneurs and corporate entities with their media production. And then, you know, my writing also changed too. When I started working more with entrepreneurs, my writing shifted more into nonfiction. But I still write the fiction, and I still have fictional concepts and ideas. A few years back, I wrote a novel. It was actually a novel I didn't want to write. my writing stemmed in the thing of film, the film industry for a long time, so that was screenplays. Like, you know, 110 page screenplays. So I've written 28 feature length screenplays. Four of them have been optioned by major studios. And I've had lots of other, you know, accolades along those lines. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, you know, as I'm moving through this particular storyline, I was struggling writing the script. And it was because it was very complex. I tried twice to write the script, and I was kidding. I wasn't having it. And that has never happened to me before. Usually I'm able to just blow through it. So I decided to go back to my roots in prose, and I wrote the book. So, you know, it's a 500-page novel. I wrote the novel, and I created two sequels to it as well. And now I really understand those characters. And then I adapted my own books to screenplays at that point, because that's really where I wanted to go.
Okay.
And, so that was one of the scripts that actually got optioned, was that one that I had the most trouble with.
Is it a good turning point for you?
Sure. I mean, sometimes you have to go through that refining fire and to bring out the gold, right? So I now write, I mean, I'm still writing fiction stuff, but the primary thing that I push out there are nonfiction books related to the mindset, related to, you know, who we are, what we're designed to do, who we're designed to be as spirit beings as well as just humans on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So my last book was about a year and a half ago called Rewrite Your Story, Reshape Your Life. And it's still available on Amazon. You can check that out. And I have written other books as well. The book I'm working on now is called The Imagination Code.
Oh.
Or Cracking the Imagination Code.
Okay.
So that is in the works right now. So it goes along the lines with everything that we're teaching. But there's a lot of people out there that really view imagination as something that is, you know, unreal. It doesn't exist. It's not reality. And this book is to teach people that that's wrong. That's the exact opposite.
Yeah. Well, people are afraid to dream these days because they've been disappointed so many times in life that they think that dreaming is kids' play.
But then again, most parents say to kids, get your heads out of the clouds, you know, come down to reality.
True.
Because they want to protect them from the world going, well, you can't just be out there and
imagining
dreamland.
Things.
Yeah, you gotta face reality. You're like, well, what's reality?
That's the untruth right there, because those people say, well, I've dreamed before, I've been disappointed. This is my rebuttal to that, is that you've never dreamed before, is that you've thought about it before. You've contemplated ideas before in your left brain, but you've never dreamed about it. And so this is the cracking of this code, that you have a code and you're using a cryptext that is the wrong one. And you're decoding, so you're getting inaccurate information. And then that's just perpetuated and passed on generation to generation.
Right.
Get your head out of the clouds, stop dreaming, blah, 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 because it doesn't work. And really, it's the other way around. It's like, well, let's look at your life and see what really is working. And all the successful people out there, every single one of them, they didn't think about it first. They felt it first. They felt it, and they moved with that feeling. Feel the ideal. They felt the ideal, right? And so this is something that is not taught. This is not something that's trained in most arenas about imagination. They think it's a dirty word. Yeah, unfortunately.
So, Dan, tell us what you have in store for your future. I know you have another Imagination IQ coming up in August, is it, here in Southern California?
That's right. August 13 through 15 is the next Imagination IQ event, the epic event experience. We are we're going to be in the Anaheim area, like near Disneyland here in Southern California. And then we have another one, which is going to be in Northern California, the Sacramento area, in October, which is October 29 through 31. We're going to have a really fun time there, because on the 31st, our last day, we're going to have a costume party.
Oh, perfect.
And how can people find the events if they want to sign up for them and plan a Disney vacation around going to really get their head in a new place that's going to be quite beneficial for them?
Yeah, talk about being in the right place, especially with Walt Disney there and his Imagineers. And I mean, Walt Disney is one of my favorite dudes on the planet. I mean, just from an icon standpoint and his understanding about imagination, turning it into reality. I mean, so he's a great example of that.
Yeah.
So the way they can go straight to the website and go to imaginationiq.com. Real simple, imaginationiq.com. They'll take you to the page on our main website that talks about the events. You can learn a little bit more about there, show some pictures there, some videos, so you can kind of get a concept and come and experience it. What we do, too, is something very different from other traditional events, is that we do a choose-your-own-price ticket. Now, this kind of melts people's brains because they think, well, what? What do you mean? What's the price? Well, no, you get to choose what the price is. And so it melts that I'm actually giving you your power back. I'm giving you your power back, and I'm not telling you what this value is. And so that's another part of our paradigm, is that I don't believe that I can give value. When people say, oh, you give more value when you speak, I think that's erroneous. I don't give value. Value is created by the perceiver or the receiver. They tell me what the value is. And that's like, in this economy, you create a product, well, there's a supply and demand, right?
So right.
They're demanding it. Well, of course, the value is higher.
Sure, sure.
And that value doesn't necessarily need a dollar amount. And so for us, it's like, we're not here to gouge you. We're here for transformation, truly transformation in the moment during the event. So you get to choose what you feel is appropriate and go from there. I think you guys actually experienced that when you went through and you did your tickets, right?
We did. And that was really a jaw dropper for us. We had never, ever, ever attended anything. we've gone to a million as well over the last, multiple years.
Sure.
We've never attended any event that allowed you to pick your own price. And I thought that was just brilliant, particularly for the people that at the time maybe might not have had a good size budget that they would have missed. They would have not been able to attend the event based on whatever their financial situation was at the time. And you allow people to be able to go, under any circumstance that they're personally going through. And I think that alone is just so commendable.
Thank you. Thank you. We try to make it as easy access as possible. And for those that can't come, it's just schedule conflicts. There are no other obstacles. We try to remove as many as we can along the way. So that's definitely why we do it. Choose your own price. It worked really well for us last time, and we're going to continue to do it because it just feels energetically resonant with me and with our team. We're like, yep, that's it. We're going to continue that.
Well, Dan, we definitely were so appreciative of getting to know you and experiencing your event firsthand, and we absolutely wanted to share you with our listeners because we feel like there's great value that they can get from going to any of your events and just really listening to what you have to say. Even your Facebook is always very informational. We very much felt like our listeners needed to know who you are. And of course, we encourage them to keep their eye on you and your upcoming book release. And of course, they can always reach out to us if they have any questions as well, because we were able to experience it firsthand. We are absolutely on your team and excited about everything that you're doing and what you're, what you're sharing with people. So
I appreciate that. And if they do want to follow me on Facebook, since you mentioned it, you guys can check me out at Dan Fowler, the Imagination Engineer.
And absolutely.
Dan Fowler, the Imagination Engineer. You'll find me on there and probably a whole bunch of other stuff on there too. I kind of pop up pretty quick in the search stuff. I'm pretty active there.
Excellent. And what I'll do is I'll put a link to that right on the media player, so that way people can easily find you.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Great. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate it. It was a good, fun time.
You have a great day, man. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. Blessings.
So keeping with the theme of imagination, here's a song that I wrote called Daydreamer. So this goes out to Dan Fowler and his Imagination IQ. So once again, that was Daydreamer by Saint Tone. If you want to check out some more music, go to www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com.
So we are back, and we have a very special guest on the line with us. Her name is Georgia Weiss, and she is the creator of Mantra Movie, and she's calling in from Barcelona, Spain, and we are just very, very honored to have you on the phone with us today, Georgia. How are you, love?
Hi. I'm happy to be here. Thank you very much.
We learned about your mantra movie when we were at the Shakti Fest last week, and we had our first experience with mantras and with chanting and all that type of thing live. And when I saw your advertisement there about mantra movie, it was very intriguing for us. We talked about it on the air and are just delighted that we actually have you live and in color to talk about the mantra movie, how you came up with the idea, and give our listeners a little bit of an education so that they can get behind you and help fund this so that we can actually get this out to the world.
Yeah, that would be great.
So tell me, first of all, how did you decide to do mantra movie? How did that all come about?
Yeah, well, there's two things really, because I've been working as a film editor for over 20 years, and I used to work a lot of music documentaries, especially in the time when I was living in New York. And so I've always had a special interest and love for music documentaries. And about 8 years ago, I started getting to know devotional music, and it's very much, I had a very profound experience with devotional music, actually, when a very close friend of mine died. And this is where I discovered that this music can be deeply healing and also transformational. And this music really helped me in this time when my friend died. So I knew this was something quite profound, and I'd felt like with this music, I found like I had a tool to get over some difficult situations. But then after that, after that, I further explored devotional music. I further explored the artists, and I actually started realizing this whole new movement of kirtan and singing mantras together in a co-response fashion. And also that the yoga schools are starting to bring this out. So I would go and attend these mantra singing sessions. And then I very soon realized that this music is helping a lot more people, that there's really a very inspiring movement behind this of people who join together to sing mantras for celebrative peace, for celebrative well-being, and kind of a community feeling. So this all together kind of really inspired me to make a film about it.
Yeah, and I think that's really one of the things that we talk about, Georgia, on the site, is that one person can really make a difference in the world. And I think that the fact that you recognize that this was something that really helped in your healing process personally, but also recognizing the need for other people to know that this is out there and taking a step to make it happen so that other people can find out that, this might be a resource for you when you have something happening in your life that you need a little support for. I think that the leap from you experiencing it personally to you putting it together in a movie is really commendable, that you took that on and made it happen to the degree now where it's a movie, you're raising funds for it, and you're showing it to the world.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like I had to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had to make that step because it's something so inspiring and so important to share, I think. Many people still have kind of reservations about it. They think it's a bit strange, a bit spiritual, and it's not. What the beautiful thing about it is that it's becoming more and more popular and more normal. People are discovering this as a form of meditation. And I think this is a really great movement to spread the word about it.
When people listen to this music, because again, we were exposed to it for really the first time at the Shakti Fest live. And what I notice is some people sing it in a very traditional way. And I'm a musician, by the way, also. I've been a musician for 30 years. So I can really appreciate all types of music. What was interesting is some people did it in a very traditional way with just hand clapping chanting, and then other people brought it into more of a modern feel, if you will. They brought in like a rock element or a pop rock element. But explain to us real quick, what are the words? Like, it seems like what they do is they grab a phrase and they just repeat that phrase over and over again. So the lead singer will sing it, and then the background singers will sing it, and they'll do it for about five 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. And it becomes this this meditative chant. But where does the original lyric come from? What are these actual phrases? Because obviously they're not English. They're in a different language. Can you explain that to us?
This is an ancient tradition from India. And it's, you know, it's more than 5,000 years old. It's chanting mantras. Mantras are in Sanskrit, which is actually a vibrational language. It's not really, the words are more like a vibration. They're not really words itself. So when you're singing these mantras, they actually have an effect also on your body. And the whole reason you're doing this is to actually connect with your inner self and not think too much. And you know, in normal language, you're very much thinking with your mind the whole time about the, you know, what you're saying and everything. But with mantras, it actually gives you a break. It's more a vibration, and you can stop thinking, you can relax, and you can build up this, you know, this sense of peace and this sense of relaxation when you do this practice. And that's something that they've been doing in India for many, many, many years. And it's a quite new thing here in the West. And I think what's brought it over is definitely also the yoga movement. And they're starting to incorporate this in their schools as an extra activity. And people are getting used to it. And they're really finding this as a really great source of meditation and being together and singing, you know. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you said what you just said, because I was having a conversation with my guitar player when we were at the show, and the performer was performing. It was Saturday night. I can't remember his name, but he was doing his mantra, and next thing you know it, I'm singing along, because obviously it gets very repetitive and it gets into this hook.
And you
can figure out what's being said. And I didn't know what the meaning of the word was, but it pulls you in. And I said to him, I said, how interesting is this? Because I'm a songwriter. I said, I wonder if you used a phrase like
from modern
day. I am happy, and just repeated at the same amount of time, if it would get old. And it was an interesting question. But now that you explained it to me, you would actually take that word and it's too literal, where these words are vibrational sounds, and that makes more sense. And that's why it's not literal. It's just a sound that vibrates within you as you say it. So that's fascinating to me as a songwriter, because I really was drawn to it, and I didn't understand it. Go ahead.
Some people say, you know, it's good to know the meanings, but many of the kirtan artists says it's not so important to know the meaning as well. You know, so it's just really about not thinking. You know, so you're just repeating the sounds, and you're, with the vibration, you know, it's opening, it's heart opening as well. And it actually helps us Westerners to be singing these mantras in Sanskrit, because then we don't really know the meaning. We don't think so much about it. So
exactly.
So it's there's that element in it as well. But there is something about mantras that they have been around for a long time, and many people do believe that they are a kind of a sound formula, you know, that there's some kind of vibration packed in with these words, with these sounds or vibrations.
So let me ask you, when you started on this journey to document mantras, you were already involved. You had already been going to a number of different events that sing. You felt the healing effect for yourself, and then you took you went on this journey. So right now you're in Barcelona, Spain. Where else have you been recording this?
Well, I started out in like this very small little gatherings, which are really beautiful as well. Just like, you know, just 12 or 10 people get together. And that's how I started out getting to know it. And then after that, when I started thinking about making the film, we're actually very lucky here in Barcelona. This is also a yoga hub here. And a lot of the bigger kirtan artists come to perform in Barcelona. So I was able to film Deva Premal meeting Krishna Das and Satam Kaur here in Barcelona. And then we also went to Paris to film with Lama Guillaume. And after that, we went to Omega Institute up in upstate New York to film the ecstatic chant there last fall. So that's where we've been so far. And we also are filming like the smaller kirtan gatherings in various places as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're really feeling, at least I'm getting the sense, that this has been around for thousands of years in India, but now it's starting to really spread mm-hmm. around the world. And like you said, Westerners are starting to really gravitate to it and really starting to feel the healing.
It's interesting because some kirtan artists are actually saying it's an interesting transition, because in India, you know, it's a traditional thing almost, and you know, it's very spiritual as well, but it's almost sometimes seen as something for the older people, and now it's coming over to the West and it's seen as something for the younger people, you know. So it's an interesting movement.
Yeah, when we went to the Shakti Fest, I would say the average age was probably between 25 and 35. So it was definitely geared more towards younger people, and they were really, really understanding the vibe of the chanting and definitely relating to the whole movement. So I think it's probably way past time that it comes to the United States and becomes, you know, let younger people become aware of this whole other entity, if you will. Now, are you going to other countries, or how much longer are you figuring out that you're going to film before you have enough content for your movie?
Yeah, we're about halfway through. We filmed about 50% of the film. Barry Om, who is my co-director and also a fantastic cameraman, he's also been filming in India, Nepal, just recently also in Japan. So he's filming in various places. And we have quite a lot of filming still to do in September in the U.S. and some other various concerts in Germany and a few other places in Europe. So
I love that
Greece, actually.
I love that you're making your way around the world and that you're not just concentrating in one zone, and that you're really multi-country.
That was the original idea of the film as well, is just to see how it is in all these different places. And we're trying to do it as best we can, but obviously we're also a bit budget restricted, you know, so we can't. But it's really interesting to see how kirtan is perceived and how it's practiced in the various countries. So we're definitely, that will be an element that we are exploring in the film.
Would you say that this type of music is best experienced live as opposed to on CD or recording?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because I got to know it, as I said, when I was in a difficult stage in my life, and just listening to the music, I already felt it. You know, it's like it goes through all your body. It's a cellular kind of experience. But what the difference is of just listening it to on CD and when you're actually doing it live with other people, is such an interesting, which you've probably familiar, you experienced at Shakti, is this celebrative experience with others who you don't know. You know, everybody doesn't know each other, but
right.
You are celebrating something inwards together, and mm-hmm. it's like a non-verbal experience. We're not thinking, there's no goal, there's no words involved. You know, it's a really new, a beautiful way of just being together, and
it's a beautiful,
something so unique.
It's a beautiful bonding experience. We felt that very much, because you know, we were with several hundred strangers all doing it together, and you definitely felt like everyone around you was part of your family.
It's and when also all the voices just become one, you know, you stop thinking about your small self and it just joins with everybody, and it's just, for me, it's just back to the roots, you know, back to this energy where we probably came from, you know. It's just trying to get out of the mind a bit and just be coexisting with each other through feeling, through music, and through sound. And that's what it's about, you know.
Yes. And so, real quickly, let us know about how your Kickstarter or fundraiser is happening and how people can get involved. And you have a trailer that people can watch. So just give us a little more information on that, on how people can get involved to learn more about it and to see your documentary and help you get this message out.
Help you fund it, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a website. It's www.mantramovie.com. There we have a movie trailer of 3 minutes where you can, which is a kind of also introduction to the various artists and to the style and the look and the feel of the film. And then on the website you can find our Indiegogo campaign. And on the Indiegogo campaign, there's another video with my introduction and the appeal. And on this page, you can find out more information about the project. We also have several perks that you can buy from festival entrances to find CDs from some of the artists. Obviously, DVD downloads, streaming downloads, and special edition DVDs, and different things that people can choose from to contribute to our project and to help us make the film.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the link will be available below on the media player, so if you're listening to this, you'll be able to see the link below.
And I want to say, too, to our listeners, you know, if you're in a situation where you can't donate financially, maybe you have product or something that you can donate that they can offer as a perk. You know, there's a variety of ways that you can help with this project. If you can't manage it financially, think about what you can do, what you do have access to, or perhaps a friend or a business that you know of that might be able to support this project and help her get this out.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And also just help spreading the word, sharing our links. We also are on Facebook and Twitter. All these links you can find on our website, so you know we can share the word. That also would be excellent.
Well, Georgia, we'd love to invite you back to let us know where you're at, when you know, at different stages of this, and when you're expecting to launch it, and that type of thing. We absolutely welcome you to keep us informed, so we can keep our listeners following and helping this project get out there.
Yeah, great. No, I'd love to. I'd love to check in as well. Yeah, we have, if all going well, we're going to be filming this year until about November. Then we're going to go into post-production. So we want to finish the film in the beginning of 2016. So
very exciting.
We can check in back in together very soon.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out and calling us and sharing this information with all of our listeners. And we hope to hear back from you again and see the movie in 2016.
Yeah, very exciting, girlfriend. Yeah. Congratulations. We're really excited to have people like you in this world doing these fabulous things.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for your support and enthusiasm and interest. It's really great. Thanks.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
So I thought what I would do is give you guys a little taste of this type of music. This is mantra music. This is what the movie is all about. It's very meditative music. It just keeps going, and you really get into this space when you listen to it. So this is Amra Kripa. It's a woman that I met that was performing at the Shaki Fest. Here's a quick minute of it, and we'll close out the show like this.
If you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye. Humanitarian Radio.
shout and announce some good news for your soul.